Well, folks, as you know, we have just kicked off our Rock the Body Fall Challenge, which is challenging you to get into the life of your local church. Hopefully you are all excited about that and have already made plans for how you're going to start completing each week of the challenge. And make sure that you are also giving us your perspectives as you're doing that. We want to hear from you on Twitter. Just hashtag us, hashtag RockTheBody2013. You can also leave audio feedback by calling our voicemail box at 866-687-8686. Again, 866-687-8686. And just leave a brief comment there for us. But this month is going to be fun because we are tapping into some great experts and authorities on issues related to the church. And this week we have Randy Pope on the line. Randy, welcome.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
Yay. Very glad to have you in our sphere. Those of you who know or don't know, Randy is the founding and still the current pastor of Perimeter Church in Atlanta, Georgia, and they have planted or helped plant at least 28 churches in that area. What is up with Atlanta? Like, there are so many churches there. Oh, my goodness.
Well, there are a lot of churches, and a lot of us are working together closely, which is a good thing as well.
That's good. A lot of needy people there that need to be into a church, so that's good. Yeah. Randy is also the author of a number of books, and the one we're going to talk about today is called Insourcing, Bringing Discipleship Back to the Local Church. And for those of you who know this week's challenge, you're being challenged to join or start a small group or something related to discipleship to drive you deeper into the life of your church and keep you accountable. And so Randy has done a lot of this, a very specific model at Perimeter. And Randy, I think the first thing I want to ask you, because this generation is so accused of being church consumers and not really taking on church as something that's really a viable part of their lives and something that holds them accountable and gets them involved. What would you say, how do you guys battle consumerism at Perimeter? Because you're a pretty big church, and I think it could be easy to drift in and out.
Well, it is. And consumerism is a real issue, not just for the younger generation, but all generations at this time, I think, as society changes. But, for us, we found that if you offer people something that is, in their mind, a vision bigger than their own life, they capture it, want it, and run with it. And so often, we only provide things that are consumed, as opposed to offering them things that equip them so that they can, in turn, impact others. And I think that's what turns an individual from being a consumer to where they see the passion for Christ and what he's done for them, and think, now it's my job missionally to take it out to others.
Yeah. Well, you very much, and I don't know if this is your specific mission, but I know it's one of the hallmarks of Perimeter. Your goal is to deploy mature and equipped followers of Christ, which is really a very simple mandate and a very biblical one. And so you have talked a little bit, and you certainly do in the book, about one of the ways that the church does this, or one of the functions of the church, is imparting truth. And of course, we see that in preaching, teaching, seminars. Many churches do this very well. They fill their people's heads with knowledge, and then they send them out and say, okay, go do something with it. But you talk about a model kind of a two-story building, and how people and churches need to add that second story to the building. Can you describe how that process works and what the second story means?
Yes. If you're familiar with the name Ken Blanchard, many would be, noted business leader and author, and now as he became a Christian several years ago, has turned a lot of his attention to ministry as well. He has what's called a situational leadership paradigm, and we had found out in our ministry that we radically began to develop leaders as we never had before by doing the same four things in his four quadrants as he talked about, and we didn't even realize until I heard his information how much it does impact leadership development, spiritually maturing people and so forth. His four boxes have, in the bottom left box, if you consider the four quadrants, the bottom left is the word directive. And you've got to, if you take on somebody in business or any other leadership development, you've got to give them some directives of what to do, when to do, and how to do it. But then you want to take them up to box number two, and that is coaching, where they're listening and watching you, and you're watching them, and there's interactive. It's a kind of a person-to-person opportunity to help them figure it out. Then, in time, you can slip them over to box three, the top right box, and that would be support. They just need to be an email or a phone call away, and something new's come up, never seen this before, oh yes, and then you explain it. And then pretty soon, they don't even need the support. You can drop them down into the delegate box, and they say, you go do it. And he said, what you never want to do is go from box 1 to 4 and go across the bottom. That's that first story, as you might be referring to it.
Mm-hmm.
You never want to go across from directing to delegating. If you do, you create disillusioned learners.
Yeah.
And then he made a statement that we were together one day. He said, I know of no organization as notoriously guilty of producing disillusioned learners than the church, because we go straight from directing sermons, seminars, groups, whatever, to now you go do it, and people get disillusioned about how they do it. What we had come up with was a little paradigm very similar, TEAM, truth, which really was the same as directives, E, equipping, and how we equip, and that takes you up to the top left box, which is really the same as coaching, and then across to what we call accountability, it's the real support, down to mission, which is your delegation in the Christian faith, is you're out on mission. And we put a fifth little piece to that called supplication, prayer, kind of stick it in the middle. And we found that those five elements placed in a small group turned it from being just a support group, a learning group, it put it into a spiritual formation group that was unparalleled to anything we'd ever seen.
Yeah, and I think that's so interesting, because when I actually heard you speak here in Colorado a few months ago and remembered, one of the things you said was you talked about the difference of a function between what many would consider a small group in today's churches versus a discipleship group. And I know you said that, you know, there are small groups where you go in and maybe you're doing a book study and people can drift in and out, and those people that have tough work schedules and figure out how to, you know, get a little bit here and there. But when someone signs up for a discipleship group or whatever you're talking about here at Perimeter, that's a radically different commitment, isn't it?
It really is. And the big difference is this. Now, we believe in small groups, too. We have them, and they have a place. But the difference is a small group usually has a moderator, a teacher, a leader. But discipleship, as we call it, and we call ours journey groups, but if you get into discipling in a life-on-life manner, as we think of it, now you've got a mentor, a coach, somebody who's truly helping you go from destiny where you are to destiny where you need to be spiritually. And the small group, typically you show up and you listen and you take from it, whereas in discipleship you prepare outside at length and study and get prepared. Then you come in so that time can be spent not on the truth section as much as in the equipping of that truth, accountability, mission, and supplication, and so forth.
Sure. Well, and I know in the book you talk, you basically use Jesus and his, you know, his relationship with the disciples as a model for this. But how would you say, Randy, how can that work today? Because I think a lot of us are sitting here going, okay, well, first of all, the disciples did everything with Jesus. They lived with him, they walked with him, they taught with him, they did miracles. And secondly, this is Jesus we're talking about. If I could be discipled by Jesus, I would do that, okay? You know, so
right.
How can this look real in a real church today that's messy and broken with people that maybe you don't like?
Well, good question. You know, and it is messy. It's not always clear-cut, easy, and without cost. But there's a sense in which it's just you taking people where you've already gone. And you don't have to be Jesus to do that. I mean, God has worked in our hearts. We've come along in our spiritual formation. And after a period of time, we can look at others that don't know where we've come and how we got there and just say, come, let me show you how to do that. We may not do 12 like he could, having full time, as you said, but we can have 3, 4, 5 that we can connect with closely enough and say, come, follow me. Let's go in spiritual formation together. And so it can happen. It does happen. We've seen thousands of people go through it here at Perimeter Church and radically, radically impact their lives. And they look to that person and say, you know, you were used of God in my life in a way I could have never gotten it by reading a book or just listening to a study. I had to have you to help me get there.
Hmm. Okay, so for a young adult who's listening and they're like, I'm not even sure that this exists in my church and I don't even know who I would talk to, like maybe they're motivated to find out more about it or to start something like this in their church. What do they need to do and what is the uniqueness of discipleship in the church that, you know, so someone just says, you know, well, why don't I just stay close with my group of friends? You know, we hang out, maybe we can keep it, you know, what's the value of doing this in a corporate body of believers and how can you find or start this presence in your own church?
Well, those are several questions there, but in terms of the difference between just doing it with a group of friends, well, friends are important, but somebody needs to be in the lead who's taking you where you need to go. And there's a sense in which all of us in a group help each other, but we need somebody that's further than the rest of us where we can follow and be able to be, as we call it, discipled or mentored, coached, whatever the case may be. Coaching is critical. You need somebody who can speak into your life and be able to ask questions and so forth. In terms of doing it in the local church, per se, well, I think it's critical so you get all the elements of a life of church supporting the process. And so you get in the teaching, you're hearing the same teaching from the pulpit, you're able to interact on that together and talk through it. You've got the prayer support of the church, the encouragement of all other opportunities of ministry. So I just think it's a healthier, it's a body, and that's what you want to be a part of. So I think the local church is the best place in the world. Lastly, you ask, you know, where do you get? A lot of churches won't have this. In fact, most we find don't. We're amazed how churches are coming to our clinics and conferences to say, you know, show us how and so forth. I wrote the book. Simply for that reason, so many people are coming and asking. And so we have made most of the elements to kind of introduce it to you in the book, Insourcing. And then check our website, perimeter.org, and go under discipleship, and you can see everything we're doing and all the aids and helps that we can provide. We have staff here that entertain full-time staff just working with other churches. So any way we can help, we always like to do so.
Oh, that's a great resource. Well, talk to us a little bit about, because you outline this in the book, what you call the importance of curriculum and how whatever you're going to do, there's going to be some element of curriculum, even if you say it's something really loosey-goosey. But what would that look like, practically speaking, in a discipleship life-on-life model?
Yeah. Well, what we've done is I spent time, I'm now in my 47th year of consecutively working with a small group of guys trying to invest in their lives. I do it over a three-year period, and a few guys come in each year, a few guys go out. And I realized years and years ago we needed a foundation for the truth section of what we're going to be, you know, chewing on. And so basically I've put out over those 3 years all the subjects that we think are most critical for a person to mature in their faith and to become equipped well in ministry. And so each element, whether it be an element of Christology, you're learning about Jesus, or whether it be something about the church, ecclesiology, whether it be practical theology, such as how do you have a personal time with the Lord, or how do you become a better mom or dad, or whatever the, you know, how do you become a better husband or a wife, whatever the issue that we're studying. We take you to the Word of God in it. We make it Christ-centered. Very important that a curriculum be Christ-centered. Always taken to the cross. And then also something that is, the curriculum is oriented, whether you're structured or you're pretty much a spontaneous person, the materials we're offering help a leader be able to stay in balance of doing both so you don't get to one side or the other. It's organic and it's engineered, if you think of those terms. But the curriculum, we find, is vitally, vitally important. It needs to be a good curriculum, but curriculum doesn't change people. The Word of God does, certainly, and the curriculum has God's Word. But it's the use of not only the curriculum, but the life-on-life aspect. I like the way Paul put it to the church at Thessalonica. He said, I imparted to you not only the gospel, but also my own life. And so there needs to be that life element, but the curriculum is important.
Hmm. So can you give us just, you know, to kind of drill it down a little bit, Randy, into like a single example of like, take us into the life of a person in your church who's doing this. What can they expect? What, you know, I mean, if you're talking life on life, is it like, is someone going to show up at my door and be like, Lisa, what are you doing right now? I mean, what what does this look like to really invest in this and to say, I'm going to have someone in my life and be coached in this way? What does that practically look like?
Well, for us, the ideal way is the leader begins to, through his own experience or her experience in life, to meet people where they live, where they work, where they play, in the life of the church, wherever, and they invest in their life till they come to faith. And once they come to faith, or maybe they meet a Christian younger than them and begin to invest relationally in them, you would invite them on a journey to say, would you be interested to spend 1 year at a time, not a three-year commitment, but would you like to spend a year with another group of people, often people they might know, that's ideal, but would you like to spend once a week together? Beyond that, you know, as we have opportunity, we'll be together, but would you like to invest in an effort to grow in your spiritual formation in a significant way? And I will help you to that end. And if you'll just be available and willing, and let's try to work together. And that's the way it works. And once you decide, we have a covenant that we can all look at together to say this is what is expected and this is how we're going to make it a good journey together. And they sign up. Last night I had my group for the first week this year. We just did an orientation. And I just said, guys, I want you to look. And is this what you want? If so, let's all commit to do it. Let's spend a year together and be a brotherhood and see what happens.
Okay. Just turning a small corner here, Randy, I know a lot of churches today really emphasize outreach, whether that's in a social justice function, whether it's in evangelism, whatever that looks like. Is this like a chicken egg thing? I mean, because it seems like so many churches have outreach, but yet there's no real pouring into their people in a discipleship manner or accountability and really getting into the word. It's more just like be the hands and feet of Jesus and go out there. How can we correctly emphasize, teach, and employ both simultaneously within a church?
Well, I think this is the ideal model because everything we're doing has a missional heart to it and certainly equipping as well to mission. So rather than, okay, you go out and do your mission and you don't really get the spiritual formation side or vice versa, this really combines the two together. And that's what we find so beneficial here. Our people who come through discipleship end up living missionally. I'll tell you a great story. I had a group of guys coming in as the first-year guys to our group, and we always say, what are you concerned about? And all the new guys in my group said, I am not one of these guys that's going to tell people about Jesus and walk around and grab people up and talk to them, and I just don't do the mission side. And I said, wait, guys, do you trust me? Let's just walk through this. Just follow. And every week there was just a little bit of equipping, a little bit of training that added and added and added. At the end of the year, one of the last 2 weeks we were meeting together, I said, guys, let's just share where we are. How are you doing right now? And I found it interesting that every man but one in our group, every person, and I think we had 10 in our group, which is a very large group, every one of them except one, they're sharing about how they were doing related to someone they were missionally involved with. And I stopped and I said, did you hear yourselves? You are all missionally engaged right now, and you thought you would never get here. And they just looked at themselves and said, you're right, we really have come a long way, haven't we? So that's the beauty of this. If you're maturing, you are going to be missional. You're not going to mature without being missional. So that's the critical element.
Good point. So if we were to walk into, and of course we have listeners who are all around the world at this point, but what I'd like to know is how then has this changed what Perimeter looks like? If I'm going to walk in and I'm going to join, you know, I moved to Atlanta, I'm going to join Perimeter, what will I see differently about the way church is done, about the way ministries are run there, about the way, you know, people are enfolded into the body? How has this really changed the DNA of Perimeter?
Well, hopefully you'd come in the church and you wouldn't necessarily see it programmatically. The idea we always say, you don't start a program of discipleship. You basically you plant it, you sprig it, and next thing you know, you see maturity and leadership development coming out. What you would hear was this: you'd be around the church a very short period of time, and you'd say, "I tell you, I know this much. People are engaged in something called discipleship around here, and it's making a difference." Classic illustration, we had a men's retreat, had a nationally known speaker come in, and he had an assistant with him, and did men's conferences all over the country all the time. And the last day, the last few hours, we were together, and And this guy looked at me and he said, Randy, there's something different about this church. These men, I'm with church after church in men's groups. I have never seen men like this. What is the difference? Before I could say a word, his assistant turned and said, I can tell you the answer to that, being here 2 days. And he looked over and he said, what's that? He said, I don't know what it is, but it's called discipleship, because that's all I'm hearing from these men, is that's where they're getting where they are, it's through discipleship. So you would pretty much feel a sense, but hopefully it would be through seeing the maturity, leadership, the type of servants, the type of character. Hopefully that's how you would really see the difference.
Well, Randy, this is encouraging, and I think it starts with even that story of you saying that you've been in it for so many years and are committed to turning, you know, kind of like I just envision this turnstile of guys who are coming in and out of your life and now are empowered to go and influence other men. And I think it sounds like it is the way that God is using you and the church to get into the Word and to, again, like you said, that life-on-life model, which is so important. So thanks for just even giving us an overview and sharing some of those insights.
Well, happy to do so. And I will say this, I've been truthful on everything. I've not tried to exaggerate. But at the same time, if you got close enough here, you'd find out that it is messy, that we struggle, we have the weaknesses, everyone's not doing, every group's not a great group, and there is reality. But I'll tell you this, the reality with Life of Life discipleship is so much richer than life without it. But it's not perfect, and we don't have it together. We're far from it, but it has been a rich and healthy thing for us.
That's excellent. Well, I've been talking to Randy Pope. The book is Insourcing, Bringing Discipleship Back to the Local Church, something that he is doing at Perimeter Church in Atlanta. And so do check it out. We're going to link. I have links on our blog, and hopefully you'll be encouraged. Make sure you're providing us feedback of how this is going for you, especially this week. This might be a challenging one for a lot of you to really feel like, okay, I'm going to be in. I'm going to commit. I'm going to put my life on the line and open myself up to another godly man or woman or group within my church. And so I know that it can be done, and Randy has encouraged us in this. So great, great word.